Well, praise the Lord as we gather together this morning. I was preaching one time in a place called Central Kalimantan, and there was another gentleman with me, and I had finished preaching in the church that I was in that morning and thought that things are moving along and I'm going to be able to take a little bit of time off in the afternoon and walk down to the seminary. But what happened was when I got back to where we were staying, he was sicker than a dog. And he said, "You're going to have to go and do the service for me." I said, "Okay, that'll be fine. I'll go and do that." Little did I know that the church that I was going to be preaching at, unlike your church here, when I finished preaching, I'd preached for about an hour and a half. And what they said to me, they said, "But Pastor, are you going to keep preaching?" And I said, "Do you want me to keep preaching?" They said, "Yeah." So I preached for another hour. And I thought, well, now we're going to have something to eat. We're getting close to supper time. And no, they wanted me to preach a little while longer. So I'm kind of used to that. So after we hit 4 hours, if you've all gone, I'll get the hint. No barrier. No barrier. No barrier too high. That's really what the psalmist is talking about here. And you know, the sad thing is today, if you turn on your radio or you turn on your TV, or if you're streaming, I've been made aware that most of the streamers really are further south. Your capacity up here is just a little slow. That by the time the mouth starts to move, the body is finished, the message is over, and he's gone home. So if you do streaming, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but you know, when you listen to the radio or you're watching television, there's never really any good news. Doesn't matter which station you listen to, they really don't like to give you a good news. And you're saying, well, no, there has to be some good news, really? They want to tell you all about COVID. They want to tell you all about what's happening with various groups in Canada. They want to tell you about all the forest fires. If they don't tell you about the forest fires in BC, they tell you about the ones in Saskatchewan. They're not talking about Saskatchewan, they're talking about Northern Ontario. Every place is on fire. Every place is burning up. I was surprised when I got here to see, actually, you've still got trees. They're not burned down yet. I just thought that's the way it was. Every place is on fire. There is no good news. If you like to find out about COVID-19, if that's kind of your pet project, there's lots about COVID-19, and they're always digging around trying to find something that isn't going to be any good. You know, the Americans, they can start coming to Canada on the 9th. It's just we can't go until at least the 21st down to the States or later. And so I'm just kind of curious what's going to happen. We've got a backlog of all these Americans who are up here on the 9th, and they can't get back home. Could be very interesting. But you know, it was the same thing in David's day. Do you realize that David was a man who really had all kinds of problems? He was a man who really didn't like the way things were going. He was a man who loved the past. He was a man that had great remembrances of when he was a lad. Do you remember what he did? Do you remember he took that 5 little smooth stones? He had a little sling, and he went out and he did battle with this huge giant. Anybody remember the giant's name? I only asked you that to make sure you're still awake. And so what he was doing is he was listening to the past. He was listening in his heart. He loved the past. He loved his family. He loved what he did. And all of a sudden, things are changing. Things are really not going well for him. He's out there and he's battling other enemies. And David found that King Saul was constantly trying to kill him. King Saul, who should have been on his side, King Saul, who he fought for, was not on his side. In fact, now he decided he was going to kill David. And you know, poor David, he struggled through the desert. He sought refuge in the mountains and the caves. But his life was constantly encompassed by evil. And his enemies threatened. And Saul's strength at times seemed too much for David to withstand. But you know, the joyous part of this psalm comes out so clearly when you realize that the Lord delivered him. And David, in response, joyously praises God, and that's where we're going to go this morning. You know, like a hymn of old, "It Began This Way." And we used to sing this hymn when we were in England. "When all thy mercies, oh my God." You see, this psalm is a song of a grateful heart, overwhelmed by recalling the many marvelous mercies of God. You know, when we were open this morning, we were all cautioned to do that. Let's make sure that in our hearts are right with God. Let's make sure that our minds are open to what the Holy Spirit wants to share with us. We were all encouraged that way this morning. And David, he lived with hope. He existed with hope. My question to you this morning, are you hopeful or are you still caught up with all those folks who are lamenting everything that they've lost because of COVID-19? And so you're wandering around with a look on your face like you've been weaned with a sour pickle. And maybe it's just the reality that you need to face, that you need to be hopeful, not hopeless. You know, we've got a whole world that's hopeless. I deal with people almost on a daily basis that are hopeless. They don't know where their tomorrow is going to come. They have no joy in today. And they don't even want to remember yesterday. They're hopeless. And their thoughts are that it's just going to get worse. It's just going to get worse. I remember my dad telling me one time, he said, you know, there was a fellow that worked with him, and he came and one of the guys thought he was going to do him a favor because he was long-faced and he was kind of looking down, sour look. And so the guy said to him, hey, look, smile. Things could be worse. So my dad said, so he smiled, and sure enough, things got worse. And I wonder if sometimes we don't do the same thing. We don't have our hearts really open. In our verse 1 and 2 that I read to you this morning, God is described in those first two verses, and you have a look there. You'll see is the description that David gives to God. He describes God as my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. What's happening here is that it's speaking to the all-sufficiency of God. We've got a God who is in control of everything. I hope you don't think for 1 minute that God doesn't know or understand what COVID-19 is all about. We give it that fancy name just so we'll remember. But God knows exactly what it is. God is the same yesterday and today and for how long?
Forever.
Oh my goodness me, I hurt a little one's feelings. Sorry about that. You know, I love to see children in a service. If children are there, folks, you know you're alive. If they start to cry and get all excited, we should cry and get all excited with them. Find out what it is that's making them kind of be so excited about that moment. But the truth of the matter is, as we look at this psalm in David, there are four things that I've noticed about David in his day that are exactly the same four things that I have found about people during this time of COVID-19. They're the same big four that David talks about, and their protection, their security, their deliverance, and their safety. All four of those things. Everyone that I speak to, whether they realize it or not, that's what they're looking for. That's what David is looking for, and that's what he is exonerating God for in this passage that God provided for him. If only everyone would read Psalm 18, they'd realize that David experienced over and over again, all four and so much more. And David knew that he owed everything to God, and he had no one to thank but the Lord. In verse 2, he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. This same David who'd been hiding in caves and in mountains from Saul. And here he compares his God to a place of security and concealment, a place where he can go and he can commune with his sovereign God. My deliverer, not only security, but liberty is given to this man, David. And praise the Lord if you understand that this morning. You have freedom because of God. You have liberty because of God. Oh, the world can have all of its problems, and it can enunciate them and, you know, and just kind of walk around with a sour look on their face. But Christians ought not to do that. We've got a sovereign God who has provided the perfect and absolute way through all of this. No matter how bad it gets, God is the same. God is there for you. God never leaves you. We often sing a great old hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. The songwriter understood the cry of David because that's what David wanted. David wanted that protection. And as the hymn writer penned these words, so it was for him wanting protection. And he cries out, my God. Well, that's a very good thing because it's all rolled into one, and it means my perpetual, unchanging, infinite, eternal, good Savior. Spurgeon said about this verse, he who can say truly, my God, may well add, my heaven, my all. Is that you this morning? You know, we listened to our brother as he was leading us in the singing this morning. He was talking about all of the pain that he was in. But you know, the reality that came clear to him is that while others can help, the thing that helps the most is prayer. Prayer. And it's when we go to the fountain of all help, that's the only place to be. That's the only place that you're going to find complete help and support. My strength, you know, that's that solid, unchanging, eternal confidence. Do you have that this morning? Do you have confidence in God, or has the world been kind of chipping away at you? Do you ever notice that? The world kind of chips away at you. Now, what do you want to go to church for? Wouldn't you be happier out playing the back nine of the golf course? Why do you go to church for anyway? Wouldn't you be rather maybe down at the beach having a picnic? Wouldn't you be rather doing anything else? Well, that's Satan's way of trying to get at you. And Satan will try to get at you through the words and the false wisdom of certain people. You know who they are. You've talked to them. You know what I'm talking about. You've listened to them and you know there's an edge in their voice. You've listened to them and you know that it's not from God what they're saying to you. But what does he do? He says, I will trust. I will trust. I will trust. Who are you trusting in this morning? You're trusting in your bank account? I hope not. Are you trusting in your physical prowess? I hope not. One thing I know about growing older is that I don't grow stronger. There was a day when I thought, my goodness me, you know, and when you get a little bit older, you've been able to really exercise a lot and you're physically more powerful and you can do an awful lot more. Wrong answer. If you're like me, it's the exact opposite. You start winding down. Now, that doesn't really apply all the time, does it, guys? You're out on the beach, you're lying there on the beach, and you want to get up, and you're passing a bunch of folks. What do? Now, don't get smug on me, guys. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. But he says, God, you're my shield. And the shield wards off the assaults of the enemy. And that's what God wants to do for you and me. He wants to do it every day of our lives. He wants you and me to come to him and depend on him. Cry out to him. And he's going to constantly shield you, just as he did David. It says, the horn of my salvation. And the horn is just the covering of strength and power that they had in those days. And this morning, I just want to tell you, I want to remind you that you're empowered. You're empowered by a sovereign God. Because it's God himself who is our salvation. It was God himself that David is talking about as his salvation. My stronghold. It speaks of safety and mercy. And don't we all look for that? Don't we want safety? Don't we want mercy? And with all of this, you're equipped from head to toe just like David was. The hymn writer cried out, no fearing of or doubting with Christ on our side, we hope to die shouting, the Lord will provide. See, David was a human being. He's no different from you and me. Oh, sometimes, you know, we used to sing those little songs. Only a boy like David. And only a little sling. They were great little songs. But then we learn more about David. And I've heard it preached, and David was a man after God's own heart. David was a sinner just like you and me. You've got to face the facts and you got to face the reality. When David cried out, he said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." He's doing that out of a repentant heart. And God would forgive him and God would embrace him. And of course he was a man after God's own heart, because God knows that we are sinners. The only difference between you and those who are walking the streets right now is that you're a sinner saved by grace. Doesn't it say that in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10? "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You know, our brother gave us a great opportunity there this morning. He said, we're going to have a picnic. We're going to have a barbecue. And he wants somebody to volunteer their place for you to go. So there you are, brother. If you all want to come down to Belleville, you're all invited. We'll put on a barbecue. You bring the goodies. We'll provide the place. We need to do that. We need to be there for one another. Just as God was there for David, so he's there for you and me. You know, David, he had a weapon, and it's found right there in verse 6. Because every way of escape was closed to him. But look what he does. In verse 6, it tells us that he prayed. He prayed. You know, there was a famous Christian legion many years ago in the army of Marcus Aurelius. And at one point, this Christian legion was part of the Roman army that were being overpowered. And they were dying of thirst. But the Christian soldiers began to seriously pray, and they received rain. They received rain which quenched their thirst, and then hail mixed with thunderbolts came against the enemy. And Aurelius honored the Christians by giving them a name. He called them Legio Fulfilmilitrix, the Hunt Thundering, the Thundering Legion. They used David's greatest weapon against the enemy, prayer. And folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, you can do exactly the same thing. God's weapon has been given to you, and all you need to do is use it. We need to get it out, dust it off, and make sure that we're on our knees and we're praying to God with honesty and sincerity. I've had people tell me, "Well, you know, God hears everything. I don't really need to pray because he already knows what I'm going to say before I pray it." That's a cop-out. You can't do that. I know there are times when the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will pray on your behalf because you don't know what to pray. But when you know what to pray, pray it. Pray it. And then when God comes through for you, make sure that you thank him for what he's done. It was once said that prayer is the cry of faith to the ear of mercy. And if you want mercy from God, you got to ask him. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us therefore draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith." And Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So ask yourself this morning, do I live by faith or do I live in fear? It'll be one or the other. And you know, fear can sometimes hold us captive. And we can be afraid of what people think. We can be afraid of a particular hardship, or even be afraid of the dark. And when fear takes hold, we come to a grinding halt. Some people try to run away. David did that at one point, didn't do him any good. And such fear can lead us to withdraw and to be filled with anxiety, or even to become depressed. And some people respond with anger and aggression. Do you ever notice that? Attack. Attack. Others, they just close their eyes and pretend that it just doesn't exist. And maybe when they're open their eyes, it'll be gone. But when we're faced with life-altering and even life-threatening problems, it can reveal in us where we're finding our peace, where we're finding our strength. Ask yourself this morning, where am I finding my peace? Where am I finding my strength? Are you relying on self? Self will always let you down. Are you relying on others? They may not mean to, but the day will come that they will let you down. That's the reality of life. There's only one who will not let you down, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. For he's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And it says so clearly when Christ himself says, "For I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father, no woman cometh to the Father, no child comes to the Father, but by me." God is greater and more powerful than anything we face, and he's given us promises that even death itself will not separate us from him. That's our God. That's our sovereign Lord. And as he goes down through, as we look at verse 29 to 36, he kind of brings it all together. It becomes so fundamentally clear that here's a man that's trying to work all these things out. And in verse 29, there's hosts of difficulties. And he seems to scale impossible heights. And you may say to me this morning, "Yeah, but Pastor, that's fine for David, but what about me? What barriers does the Lord enable me to overcome?" Let me give you a couple of quick ones this morning to think about. What about the wall of our past sins? Psalm 86 verse 5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." What about the wall of regrets in Psalm 51 3? "For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." That's what we see happening with David. The wall of our failures. You know, sometimes people think that they're a failure. You are not a failure in the eyes of God. In Psalm 42:11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." You may not feel healthy this morning. But if you want true health, you can only find it in one place, and that's in God. What about the wall of hopelessness? You see, hopelessness, Psalm 42:11 says, "Why art thou cast down? Why art thou cast down?" And Psalm 146, verse 5, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his God." Verse 30. "As for God, his way is perfect." What we're finding now is, you see, David is starting to make the turn again. He's making the turn. Justice can happen in your life and mine, and we do that sometimes. You know, we get onto ourselves and we get really down, and we just feel that we're almost down at the floor level. And then God comes along and he begins to lift you up. He begins to lift you up. Weren't you lifted up this morning by some of the songs that we were singing? We didn't have them written down. And it didn't matter. If you're like me, sometimes I was going la, 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 la. And we had the lady that was so kind. And she said, you know, they could see our lips moving. Yeah? It's good to be kind to one another, isn't it? But you know, as we sang together, and we could listen. And when the two girls were over here and they were reading the text and then they were singing, you could hear their voices coming out. Little guy standing here. I began to hear his voice over his dad's voice. It's a great way to be. It's a great way to sing because it reminds us. If you have a song in your heart and a song on your lips and you're praising your sovereign God, it'll make such a difference in your life. Absolutely will make a difference in your life. And that's what was happening to David. He was being lifted up. "As for God, his way is perfect," because all of his actions are bound up with justice, truth, tenderness, mercy, holiness. You know, it speaks clearly to God's way, God's word, and God's warfare. God wants to fight for you. God wants you to know that he is there for you. God wants you to know absolutely clearly that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Who is God save the Lord? He cries out. Well, he's the creator. He's a sustainer. And David knew that. Who is the rock save our God? We used to sing, Jesus is the rock of my salvation and his banner over me is love. Remember that? How many people went to camp or to Sunday school? Did you ever go to camp or Sunday school? Put your hand up. That's it. You're still with me. That's good. Otherwise, it's just kind of a knee-jerk reaction, you know, and you're kind of sitting there. No, that's good. Well, that's the reality. Jesus is the rock of my salvation, and his banner over me is love. So it was for David. David knew that. For God is the great I am, and it's here and here alone that you can find refuge. It's here and here alone that you can find rest. It's here and here alone that you can find your eternal, true future. That's your future. Oh, some people would try to tell you they really don't have a future. Well, you do. You do. You've got an eternal future with an eternal God who loves you so much that his son would come. He would die on the cross for you. He would go to the grave. And out of recognition for his accomplished work on the cross, God raises him from the grave. And he sits on the right hand of God the Father, ever interceding on your behalf. You and I have an advocate, and his name is Jesus. I always like the verse where it says that God teaches him war. God teaches him war. I always thought it was the command and staff college that taught war, but I guess it's God who teaches war. And God teaches a specific type of warfare. And God's warfare is a protective warfare. He dresses you up with everything that you need to fight the good fight. Thou hast given me the shield of your salvation. So you need to take up the shield of faith, and in so doing that, thy right hand holds me up, David says. For the grace of God will surround you and hold you close, firm and fixed, and never to be lost. You cannot be lost. To the saved this morning, I would tell you this. As one of God's chosen warriors, you must expect to have a taste of every form of fighting. You need to use the power of faith. The trophies of our conflicts are to be dedicated to God and to God alone. It's not you who are successful. It's God who is successful. You need to acknowledge to him all glory, all honor, all strength, and know that he is your God. Know with an absolute certainty that there is no barrier too high for you. For our sovereign God gives to you all that you'll ever need, today, tomorrow, and every day until, as the Word of God says, absent from the body, what's the rest of it? Present with the Lord. What a wonderful way to live your life with that absolute knowledge, protection, security, deliverance, and safety. The things that David sought are the same things that you and I should seek together. If you're here this morning and maybe you've not bowed the knee to Christ, you're kind of thinking, well, you know, I'm just not really sure about all this stuff. Well, I'd like to leave you with this verse from Hebrews 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And if the events of this generation have not driven you to cast your eyes heavenward, then will you be drawn in a positive way by God's gentleness in Jesus to assure you that this great salvation can be yours. Yours by asking. The hardest thing for men and women to do. And yet, it is the most critical request you'll ever make in your whole life. So to each of you this day, stay firm, stay fixed, and above all, stay faithful for this day and every day until Jesus returns. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we have looked into your word this day, may it be that it would challenge and equip each one of us. Lord, you love each one of us. You created each one of us. In your eyes and in your heart, each one of us are special. And so, Lord, as we have met this day, may it be that we would see you high and lifted up, exalted among the nations. And as the family comes to lead us in a closing hymn, and then our brother comes to close out the service this morning, bless them as they do. Lord, we just thank you for the ministry that each one of them bring. For we ask it and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.